boom, 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 boom. Talking shale, baby. Sexy stuff. Lauren Anderson. Marcellus Shale Coalition. How are you today, pal?
Good. How are you, Marty?
It's kind of funny because all the hype outside, inside, it's just all business.
Yep, all business here.
Right? Well, there's a lot going on in your business. I've been fascinated by it because my family has been affected by it. My parents had leases. I know folks that drive the water trucks. It's made a big impact on the Western Pennsylvania economy, something that I never imagined would happen 10 years ago, right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And one of the things that I think has changed even for folks that are here going to colleges and universities is given an opportunity for them to stay in Pittsburgh. I grew up, I'm a Western Pennsylvania resident. I went away to college. I wanted to come back here to Pittsburgh. I couldn't. There were no jobs for engineers.
True.
And now what you have is an influx of need for technical related positions, engineers, environmental scientists, and things of that nature. And that's one of the things that we're trying to highlight at the conference this year.
So, Lauren, one of the important questions I need to ask you, are there jobs, because there is a slowdown, as you folks call it, an ebb and flow in this business.
Sure.
But are there jobs right now, and what are they, sir?
Yeah, there are absolutely jobs right now, because even with the ebbs and flows of the industry, you still have sites that need to be maintained. You still have gas wells that are in production. You still have engineering that needs to occur and advancements in those fields that need to happen. Any of these companies that have booths out here today, not only are they trying to highlight what's going on in their particular business in the industry, but they're also trying to encourage and entice younger folks, or even just folks that have those types of backgrounds, to come and work because of the jobs that are available. Engineers, scientists, biologists, environmental folks, surveyors, traffic engineers, road improvements need to occur. And we have a university research showcase this year, which is right straight in front of us here in the exhibit hall, that's featuring 17 students from 7 different universities.
Nice.
That are working within the parameters of the industry, and they're out here looking for one of these companies to hire them.
Lauren Anderson with the Marcellus Shale Coalition. I've seen a dramatic impact in Western Pennsylvania, thousands of jobs, and then, of course, the cracker plant. It has really changed the dynamic of how we think about energy here and our role in it. Hasn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely has. And what you're seeing is the cradle-to-grave type of supply chain for natural gas, you know, out up through the ground. Not only does it heat your home, but, you know, parts of it we use every day. Like the plastic on your phone is going to be manufactured from those plastic crackers that come out of that cracker plant to manufacture plastic so that you can have your phones, you can have medical equipment, you can have other things that we use and touch every day.
Lauren's here with us, Lauren Anderson. So, the price is really low right now, and there's so much gas on the market. This is actually fascinating to watch because I lived in Texas for so long and watched this with the oil business. Guy, I make this joke, one day he owns a private jet, next day he owns a used car. How do you manage the ebb and flow of something that's basically supply and demand?
Yeah, it's tremendously hard to manage. But I think right now the winner in all this is the consumer, because we're seeing historic lows in the price of gas, you know, to heat your home. Right now the average family of four in Pennsylvania is saving roughly $4,000 a year in heating costs. So they're the winners right now. Now, from a company and a corporate perspective,
right.
When you're dealing with a commodity, it's really tough to
manage.
And so you're trying to cut costs, you're trying to be efficient, you're trying to improve technologies so that you can narrow down everything that you're doing from a business perspective. So those are the things that are really tremendously tough to manage during these times.
And Lauren, would it be safe to say that because the company that actually paid my parents for their lease is out of business and there's such a transformation, is there a transition going on in the business right now? The small players are getting squeezed?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think we're seeing it right now. But that doesn't mean that the resource, you know, isn't going to be developed. That doesn't mean that prices won't bounce
right,
back.
Right.
We get the pipelines in the ground. We get some of these downstream uses up and running, like the cracker. We could have 4 crackers in this region that would be utilizing the natural gas, and that would pump the price of gas back up because the demand would be there.
I think because it's in its infancy in this region, we haven't adapted to this ebb and flow, have we?
Absolutely not. The industry, truthfully, is only 10 years old.
And just so folks know, how much natural gas do we have in this region? I was told 100-year supply?
At least. You're talking about maybe over 200, 250-year supply right now. Just last year alone, Pennsylvania produced 6.3 trillion cubic feet of natural gas, which is roughly 30% of the country's demand.
It's amazing.
So, and that's up 10 years ago. Pennsylvania was only producing 25% of Pennsylvania's demand for natural gas.
It's interesting, too, what you addressed, and this is a big issue. There aren't pipelines, actually, to get it to the places where they could actually ship it overseas where there's a massive demand.
Yeah, there's a massive demand overseas, and that's because the price of gas over there is so high.
Right.
It's actually more affordable for them to ship it and barge it across the world into the European markets because they're so hamstrung by Russia, who has most of the natural gas reserves over there, kind of, playing politics with that natural gas.
Can you hang?
Yep.
All right, man. We're here, folks. We'll be right back. AAA Traffic brought to you by Bowser Chevrolet in Beaver Falls and Monroeville. Hi, Kath. Hey, folks. Marty Griffin, we've been gone for a half hour, but we're still here. I think with Lauren Anderson and Marcella Shale Coalition. Hey, so Trump takes credit for your industry. He takes credit for a lot of things. Has he made a difference? I know. Look, I looked at the list of things he's done. He has been able to hold to his promises, to roll back regulations, step away from the Paris Climate Accord. Has he delivered on his promises, sir?
I think it's even more than that. He hasn't banned the industry outright, which is what the other side would kind of have you believe that they want to do. So anybody that can kind of keep us open for business is who we would want, you know, kind of in our court and who we'd support.
It's interesting you should say this because, let's be frank, the front runner right now is Elizabeth Warren, and she has said, and this is out there, first day in office, she will sign an executive order pretty much shutting you down.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's affected your stock prices. It's affected investment, has it not?
Certainly. Certainly has.
And so there has to be a fear factor in that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what you would have to demonstrate is that the federal government doesn't have the right to shut an industry like natural gas down. Only the states really have that right to be able to regulate it, which they have the right to do, and to legislate certain things and practices and put them into effect, not the federal government.
It's kind of daunting.
Yeah. Yeah, it absolutely is.
And from an economic standpoint, it would affect tens of thousands of people and billions of dollars.
Yeah, and you would also see the price of energy go up. You would see the price to heat your home go up. You would see you would have a term that really is only being used in Europe and other countries right now. Energy poverty really take effect, and things that we have not seen in recent years since the development of natural gas.
Just logistically, is it difficult with the president coming in here?
Yeah, it's absolutely logistically challenging. We as a coalition have been kind of almost working around the clock since he confirmed with us last Tuesday to be here. Changed the floor plan 3 times. I was here Monday night renumbering booths.
Seriously?
Right before everybody got here on Tuesday morning.
And so, from what I understand, they called your people and said, if folks want to come here, they get here for free.
Yeah, yeah.
What did that do to you?
We had to create two tickets. We had registration for folks that wanted to come to our program and our conference, and then obviously a general admission ticket and 2 lines. And yeah, it's been daunting, but we were willing to work with them to bring him here and to have him support our industry.
So you get the call when that they want folks here and they want them free. When did you get that call?
It was last week.
And then what's the response been like from regular people who want to come in here?
Oh, it's been huge.
Really?
I mean, we've seen a huge response, and not only the general admission and the folks that just want to hear him, but just from our registration.
Wow.
The uptick has been significant, and we'll see numbers this year higher than we've seen in many years prior to our. This is the 9th year that we've done the conference.
Yeah.
And we'll see probably all-time high numbers by the time we're all said and done.
And it would be easy to argue that's Trump-related.
Yeah, certainly.
And how many folks will actually see him speak later?
We're estimating it could be upwards of 7,000 people.
7,000?
Yeah.
In the initial conference, at how many?
The initial conference, we were projecting to have around 1,100.
No.
Yeah.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
And that's all really related to the hype surrounding the president.
President, and then also people that generally support this industry and what it's done for this area.
And by the way, it's easy for me to argue that it would be detrimental to the health of this industry if Elizabeth Warren were elected. That would be stating the obvious, would
Certainly.
It not?
Yeah.
So people always argue with me. I don't like Trump's personality. Maybe I don't. But if you're in this business,
yep.
that would scare me.
Yeah, absolutely. It scares me.
And if you're a banker or an investor, it would scare me.
Yeah, certainly.
Right?
Yeah.
So it would be advantageous to you to lobby for Trump.
Sure. Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And that's why when folks yell and scream about what he says or his personality, it would be hard to argue that what are you supposed to do?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You're exactly right. Because we're here supporting the industry, the jobs that have been created through natural gas development, and also supporting consumers. Really, this has been a windfall for consumers.
It has.
That utilize natural gas every day, not only to just heat their home, but everything that we use, the hospitals, the medical equipment, everything utilizes natural gas. 1 in 3 electrons that are that power our homes and electricity is from natural gas.
This is Lauren Anderson with the Marcellus Shale Coalition. For the folks in this region, and I know them, and I guess you've heard from them too, they're nervous because there aren't any more leases. Folks aren't getting hired. Should they be worried? What do you see as the future?
I don't think they should, because the reserves of natural gas are in the hundreds of years. I personally am an optimist that this industry will continue.
Sure.
The pros are just too great. Natural gas is a natural partner for renewable energies. It's used to manufacture solar panels and wind turbines. It is much cleaner for the environment and the atmosphere when you burn it than coal and oil and other fossil fuels. So we always look at it as a natural partnership with the renewable energy and that push for that industry.
You mentioned jobs, then I know you have to go. Where do folks go to look for these job opportunities that you suggested exist?
The Marcellus Shale Coalition, if you look us up, we have a job portal that features over 200 companies' career pages. I would encourage you to go up and look. Many of them have jobs. You don't just need a college degree to work in this industry. You could come out with a high school degree. You could even be in a trade school and work in this industry. Pipeline welders are a huge demand for them right now. So all across the board, really great living wages. But definitely go check us out on the web and look for a job.
Lauren Anderson with the Marcellus Shale Coalition. It's a pleasure to have you, sir.
Thank you so much,
Good luck
Marty.
Here with the madness. So it started out as 1,100. There's now 7,000.
Yeah, that's what we're projecting that will be here this afternoon.
That's beautiful. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Marty.
We'll be right back.